All right. All right, everyone. Thanks again for joining us. We're starting a little bit late because of a technical glitch on the email I sent out. The link did not work. But this is Dr. Will Tuttle. It's December 7th, 2023. This is our first Thursday of the month meditation gathering. And it's an honor to be with you. We are now in Hickory, North Carolina. Madeline and I, we're just finishing up the first month of our five-month Food for Freedom tour. We've been able to reach many hundreds of people, which is delightful, with the vegan message of compassion and freedom and sustainability and justice for all living beings, all the way across Nevada and Utah and on into Colorado, Kansas and Missouri and Ohio and Virginia and now down into North Carolina. And we have another lecture tomorrow night. We just had one last night. And we were in Raleigh and then Asheville and Lake Junaluska, actually, and in Wilmington, heading to Wilmington Saturday morning, and then down into Charleston, South Carolina, and Savannah, Georgia, and then into Florida. So it's gone really well, I have to say, all in all. And Madeline has been a delightful traveling partner and helper and on every level. And we've met so many fantastic people who are working hard to promote the vegan message and who are really serious about not just veganism, but also about spiritual growth and spiritual awakening. And I think that's one of the most important things as we look into the problems that we're facing on this planet, is that it's not merely our routine mistreatment of animals for food. I mean, that's the most devastating aspect of human life on this planet. But it's also the spiritual disconnect that causes that, and that also that causes. I mean, it's a circle. The more we abuse animals, the more we disconnect from our spirituality. The more we disconnect from our spirituality, the more easily we can abuse animals, and it just keeps feeding on itself, and it's been feeding on itself now for 10,000 years. And so we see what's happening. We see war and conflict and just what we see. So the good news is that people are realizing this more and more and working together to help raise awareness and change not only what we're eating, but how we're conducting our affairs and how we're treating each other. I think that's a lot of it. A lot of people go vegan, which is great, and then fail to take the second step, which is the inner work that is required to become more grounded in understanding what the underlying deep cultural situation is and the inner landscape of our consciousness and how that's been harmed by animal agriculture and making us fight with each other all the time, even as vegans, and criticize and blame and try to change each other rather than working on ourselves, which I think is the most important thing. And out of that, everything comes. So, but, you know, it's good to see people awakening to that, and especially people, I think, who have already had some exposure to the spiritual traditions of the world and maybe some practice of meditation or yoga or something like that. But you need the vegan practice also to bring that into full fruition. So, okay, well, I'm going to go ahead and start with a meditation. And even though our attendance is a little bit light for some reason, I think it's probably the problem with the connections. We'll just go ahead and get started. And what we do, for those of you who are new, on the first Thursday, we do a little bit longer meditation. It won't be that super long, but I think we'll do. I don't have the piano here, so I tend to go longer, I think, when I can play the piano and talk, and it's kind of nice. But now we're on the road, and we're in, like I said, Hickory, North Carolina, which is a little town it's not that little. It's a medium-sized, it's a small city, I guess you'd say. Furniture industry is the big thing here. It's about, I think, 40, maybe an hour or so from Asheville, east of Asheville in the foothills of the Appalachian Mountains. And it's cold. It's everything is, you know, the water's frozen at night, but it's beautiful weather. And we just gave, actually last night, it was great because we went to Lake Journalisco where T. Colin Campbell and Nelson Campbell were leading a retreat on vegan nutrition. And we did a concert. They had a beautiful grand piano in the hotel and the people all came in. And T. Colin Campbell is well known that he loves my piano music. And he, whenever I play the piano at the, on the health cruises, he was always the first one running up afterwards and telling me with tears in his eyes how much he loved the music. And so I played quite a few pieces last night, and Madeline joined me on some of them with a silver flute, which he really enjoyed too. So we had a wonderful evening with music. I think T. Colin Campbell and his son Nelson are such genuine, kind, loving, caring, down-to-earth people. I really appreciate their what they bring to the movement. And it's been great to see also that they never fell for the whole medical freedom baloney with masking and vaccinating and all that stuff. They knew that was a big hoax. Because, you know, he's known for decades, he's seen how corrupt the whole scientific community, so-called community, is. It's been completely infiltrated by corporations and money and power and the globalist plutocrats who want to enslave humanity. They're doing it through science. That's basically the way it's happening. So they understand that, which is nice to see. But anyway, we'll not talking politics too much here. We're getting into our meditation time. So let's go ahead and begin our meditation. And it's, you know, however you want to do it. You can, if you want to turn off your cameras, that's, you know, we're not need necessarily to look at each other for this. I'm going to be just closing my eyes and just leading a short meditation, relatively short, and then we can open it up for any discussion you may have or questions or whatever about things that are going on in the world. And I really appreciate Lisa, who's our co-host. She's helping to facilitate this, Lisa Wong from Florida, and thanks for reminding me to get the settings correctly here as well. So if you have any trouble or issues, just feel free to use the chat. If you have any questions, we have the chat up as well. All right, so here we go. Let's go ahead and just start our time of meditation, turning our attention within and connecting with our breathing, giving thanks for another opportunity of another day on this beautiful planet Earth to learn a little bit more and awaken a little bit more and connect with our inner wisdom and with our purpose and with each other and to be a voice for compassion and freedom and healing and abundance and awareness and the liberation of all beings. So we give thanks for this precious opportunity that we have of a human birth and all the faculties that we have of rationality and empathy and intuition and creativity, meditative awareness and courage and the willingness to devote our lives to something beyond merely our own self-centered pleasures and awareness, but to something that will benefit all living beings and future generations, which is really the movement of ahimsa, what we call the vegan movement, the movement of compassion and liberation of animals and human beings, and awakening out of the past 10,000 years of herding animals and all of the institutionalized violence and delusion that goes along with that. So we give thanks for, especially for the animals of this earth, the beautiful expressions of life that are all around us. If we pay attention when we go outside, perhaps we can hear and see the birds that are flying, and perhaps we can see the fishes if we go by a stream or a lake, or we can see the little squirrels running around and other animals, the the whole web of life is celebrating. And even if we're inside, we can give thanks for the beautiful spiders and ants and all the other creatures who have been living here and really who create the foundation of a healthy ecosystem, and who we very often misunderstand and try to exterminate as pests. But we see that all living beings are divine creations filled with the perfect intelligence to enable them to fulfill their purposes, and we honor their purposes, and we respect them. We respect all living beings, and we respect all human beings, and understand that each and every one of us is on our own unique journey of understanding and awareness, and that each and every one of us has our own unique path to that. And no one knows what another's purpose or path should be. So we honor the path that everyone takes, understanding that we learn not only from those who agree with us, but from those who disagree with us, from those who perhaps even seem to be acting contrary to what we think would be the right thing to do, that no matter what's happening in the outer world, we always can learn, and we can develop our capacity to respond with greater wisdom and love and compassion, and to help raise the vibration on this earth to liberate us from the delusions that have been rooted for so long in human consciousness. So let's take a moment now and just breathe together and give thanks for the beautiful systems of life that bind us together, the forests and rivers and mountains and oceans and prairies, and all the weather and clouds. Everything is alive, and we feel this life streaming through all of us, streaming through every cell in our being, and feeling the very soles of our feet being connected to the earth and all that the earth represents, the infinite nurturing power that supports all life here, and that this energy is living and singing within every cell of our being, bringing vitality and joy and inspiration, not only into every cell, but into all of the aspects of our life, bringing insight and wisdom so that we fulfill our destiny in this lifetime for this purpose. And we feel our connection also with heaven and all that heaven represents, the infinite cosmos rising above us and all around us, the infinite creative power that sustains all life here, knowing that we are all related. We are all, as John Muir said, fellow mortals on this earth. And the fellow mortal idea is precious because it links us together, not only all humans, but with all living beings, that we are all temporary. Our lives are precious because of the transiency of this expression. And underlying that, we are aware that what we are was never born and will never die, that what we are is eternal consciousness. That is what makes this all possible, our awareness. And as we are aware of the being that we identify with, we see that instead of reacting to whatever that apparent being is going through, we can be the space of awareness within which that is arising. And no matter what others do, we can respond with love, because we see that we're all conditioned by our upbringing. Everyone has their own unique programming. We all have our own unique wounding, and when we're wounded, then we respond. So we have compassion for all living beings and for the suffering that occurs because of our delusion. And we open to the higher wisdom that shines in our heart and in every cell of our being. And we see now that the light that shines the very core and center and heart of the universe shines right in our heart and at the very center of our being as well, and radiates into every cell of our physical body and into all of our affairs. And we just feel and see that light pouring down through the top of our head, down through our entire body, through our head and shoulders, through our arms, streaming out through our fingers, all the way down through our entire body, streaming out through the soles of our feet and through our toes. You see our whole physical body as a stream of this white, living, radiant light that washes away any fears and any delusions and any obstacles to the free functioning of our wisdom and compassion and creativity and joy. We feel our connection with the whole web of life and with this beautiful earth, knowing that we have a unique purpose for this lifetime. And abiding in this awareness that the inner wisdom of divine love and awareness guides us every day. This is our true best friend, this inner knowing that we learn gradually every day to trust, to help us lead and live and fulfill our unique life and mission in this incarnation for the benefit of all living beings. And then finally, we join together in consciousness to send our love to every dimension, to every direction. So let's do that together now, just radiating. This is called the ancient practice of the four Viharas, or the four immeasurables. They're immeasurable because they're infinite. Love, compassion, joy, and peace. So let's begin by abiding in our true home of love. Just breathing and radiating a feeling of loving kindness and benevolence. With every exhalation, allowing this feeling to radiate from our heart like an ever-expanding sphere of light. Just radiating loving kindness and benevolence in all directions to all living beings, to those who are close to us and who are our friends and family. Naturally feel a sense of loving kindness for them, wishing them to be happy and to have all the causes of happiness. And we send this feeling equally now to all beings, to those who are neutral to us. We send the same feeling of unconditional benevolence and kindness and love, and even to those who are challenging to us, who seem to be against us in some way, sending them the same feeling of love and benevolence, so that we send this to every being, like the sun shines without discrimination. We also, the sun of wisdom and loving kindness in our heart, shines equally for all beings. Just abide in this awareness for a moment, letting the sun of love shine forth from our hearts. It's a blessing for all humanity and all living beings of all times and dimensions. Abiding in our true home of loving kindness. Great, thank you. And now let's, with every exhalation, breathe and radiate compassion. This is the great awareness of yearning to act to help relieve the suffering of others. So with every exhalation, we radiate kindness, compassion, empathy, the yearning to act to relieve the suffering of others. And we send this forth in all directions. May all beings be free from suffering and from all the causes of suffering. Abiding in our true home of compassion for all beings. And third, we connect with the infinite, immeasurable joy of our true nature. With every inhalation, we engender in our heart this feeling of joy that needs no reasons at all in the outer world. We're joyful for no reason. We're joyful because that is our true nature of unbounded consciousness that is self-aware and self-radiant. It's beyond the delusion of self and other, abides in joy. So with every exhalation, just radiating joy to all beings, allowing this joy to overflow from our heart as a blessing to all living beings. Breathing and radiating joy in all dimensions, the joy of our true nature, the joy of the true nature of all living beings. Underneath everything, there is always the joy of being. It is like a bubbling spring that's ever present in our consciousness. It's the very essence of what we are. And finally, with every inhalation, we engender in our heart the feeling of peace and harmony. This arises naturally when our minds and hearts are filled with love, compassion, and joy, and we are always at peace. So we allow this feeling of peace now to just spread into every cell of our being, into all of our thoughts and feelings, and radiate from our heart and from every cell of our being out into the world, shining into the infinite web of relations, a great vibration of peace and harmony, knowing that beyond and beneath the surface of appearances, there is always the great peace. And we see the whole earth now bathed in this light of peace, like a shining jewel. And all living beings at the deepest levels are abiding in peace. We give thanks. We allow our hearts to open to a sense of gratitude, again, for the love in our hearts, the compassion, the joy, and the peace by which we are fed every day, that feed us through the sun and the moon and the wind and the rain and the stars and all the foods that we're eating and all of the relationships. All can be vehicles and can help contribute to the unfoldment of our purpose and of the highest good of this incarnation, why we are here. So we give thanks to everyone and to every situation in our life right now, knowing that every situation is a perfect mirror of our present state of mind. And thus, every situation continually brings opportunities for greater wisdom and compassion. There's nothing that is out of place, but this is actually the unfoldment that has been ordained because this is a mirror of our present state of mind in order to grow and learn and awaken and to be agents of healing and understanding. So abiding finally in our circle of compassion together, abiding in love, compassion, joy, and peace, radiating love, compassion, joy, and peace. And finally, embodying love, compassion, joy, and peace as we go forth into our lives after this gathering that we have together to fulfill the highest unfoldment of our consciousness, the benefit of all. We give thanks, knowing this is so, and so it is. Alrighty, so thanks everyone again for joining us. And we now have a little time, if you'd like. That's kind of open. And I'm so really grateful for the just the hundreds of advocates and activists and interested people who have been coming out to join us at our lecture events that we've been giving and the everything we've been doing, the workshops and concerts and everything. And it's very heartening to see that people are making these changes and still telling their friends that it's great to go vegan and understand the reason why and go deeper with the whole thing. So this is great. So this is December. In January we start a new year. Just in a few weeks, really. We'll be in 2024. That's kind of an amazing thought right there. And I know a lot of you are longtime vegans. For me, it'll be the beginning basically of my 44th year as a vegan. And like I love to say, marrying Madeline wasn't the smartest thing I did, but right after that was going vegan. And it's a gift that keeps on giving, really. It just gets better and better as time goes on. It doesn't mean that we don't have challenges of all kinds, but I think the underlying idea is that our life takes on more meaning because the challenges that we're working with are not just for ourselves, but they're for helping others, helping human beings and animals and future generations, and finding ways to embody a more kind and compassionate way of living, even when a lot of our religions and spiritual traditions sort of seem to ignore the message of veganism. It's always there. I think it's always underlying everything. It should be, and it is. It's just because we ignore it doesn't mean it's not there. So thinking about. I think the main thing I want to say right now, I guess, is if you have a thought or a question or a comment, just remember, if you're new, you can either go down to the where it says on the script, you're on Zoom, where it says reactions, you can raise your hand, or you can just unmute yourself and start speaking. If you would like to ask a question or make a comment or say something, this is our time. This is not necessarily at all just to be a monologue by me. I'm happy to just turn it over totally to everybody. But I notice a lot of times people want to just hear what I have to say, so that's okay too, because I always have plenty to say. So we can do it either way. And Madeline's right here. She's joining in the meditation with me. I'll say maybe a couple of things if nothing comes up for anyone. Again, I apologize. I'm not sure what's happening with our website, but I have to check on that. We have a problem with the links. But basically, so we have a smaller group. But I think underlying everything that we're doing is this basic idea that our whole society right now is in the mode of reaping the seeds that we've been sowing for hundreds and thousands of years. And now our technology, which is based on a science of domination of nature and domination of the sacred feminine, is getting to the point where we control animals almost virtually completely, and that mentality of control and exploitation of others is, we're seeing it boomeranging back. So it's more important than ever that we avidly pursue our spiritual practice of understanding that what we are is not a material thing. We are the infinite life that makes this possible, and to have that awareness, cultivate that awareness constantly, to not fall into the trap of reacting as if I'm just this fundamentally separate self that has something to defend, right? That I'm like, I'm a thing that has to be protected. Because what we are is what makes all this possible. We're far greater than we realize. I think we're far greater than our culture tells us we are. We're powerful, immensely powerful, creative, intelligent beings. And we're sort of forced into ridiculous absurdities on a daily basis in order to try to make enough money to survive and all these different things. And sort of find the roots of our spiritual wisdom and power, and then create ways to allow this to flow. And there's lots of ways of doing that, I think, through the arts, through education, through connecting with nature, and really remembering that our time here is, as I keep saying, is relatively limited and quick and goes by quickly. Do you have something you want to add, Madeline, or are you just enjoying?
Oh, I'm just enjoying.
Just enjoying? Good. So we've seen that a lot, I think, on our travels the last few weeks. As we go in and we see people in all kinds of ways, like yoga teachers who are bringing the vegan message to their yoga students in various ways, and people who have vegan meetups, and we had this wonderful vegan meetup on Thanksgiving Day in Columbus, Ohio. And it was so great to see the communities coming together and bringing organic vegan food and working together to raise awareness and all kinds of ways of doing that, through like one woman giving massages and then giving nutritional advice and teaching people about Ayurveda, vegan Ayurveda. We stayed with a woman in Columbus. That's what she does for a living. We stayed with her for a few days and saw her clients coming and going and realized, there's so many people are doing a lot of great things, just sort of very quietly, but in a very beautiful way. And then going up to Cleveland and being in these yoga studios again, and meeting people who are working hard to raise the vegan awareness. And we actually spent some time with this man. I think I'm going to have him on soon on one of our gatherings. His name is Peter Goldstein. He started a website called WeDidIt.Health, which is dedicated to creating vegan communities online that are focused around what he calls passion pods, where people have a passion about something, like yoga teachers who want to bring the vegan message into the yoga studios, or other people who want to bring it in a different place, different way. There's so many different ways we can do it, through music or through art or through cooking, and through activism, through politics, and so forth. So there's lots of different ways to do it. But it was great just actually to spend time with him and see the, see his vision, and he wants us to get involved with it. And we just did a recording, actually, kind of interesting one, with Claire Mann. Some of you know her. And Dr. Armighty May, who's a veterinarian, and another man from Australia who's an anti-vivisectionist. We did a four-way video, which we're going to be releasing pretty soon, making the connection between spirituality, veganism, and human trafficking. Human trafficking is a huge thing, and a lot of people just think it's this terrible thing, which it is. And where does it come from? Pedophilia and human trafficking and child slavery and slavery of human beings. But it's really based on its core on animal slavery. And as long as we are committing animal slavery and pedophilia basically on animals, all these poor animals that are sexually abused as children in human terms, we're sowing those seeds. So we did a kind of a deep dive into that, and that'll be coming out pretty soon. And I think, the more we can find ways to collaborate and work together to spread the vegan message, I think the more fulfilling our lives will be, especially when we bring the spiritual dimension in. And I hope everybody takes time every day to connect with the inner silence that is always in the background of everything. That silence is really the infinite dimension of consciousness, which is what we are beyond the Indian philosophers say nama rupa, which means name and form. We attach to this name and form. Like in my case, I'm Will Tuttle and I have this physical body, but but how long? That's not going to last very long. So what are you actually? And I think we need to we're called to keep that question alive, because if we don't, we fall into the trap of becoming a piece of meat, becoming a livestock, and treating others the same way. So this has a lot of deep ramifications. Let's see. I see here, Akawas, do you want to say something? Did you raise your hand? If you did, that's fine. If not, I'll keep going. Let's see here.
You can go as long as you want. I just thought whenever you're done.
Yeah. Yeah, and also we had a tradition for years. I mean, not for years. Oh, yeah, maybe for about a year, the first year, I would always do a reading from the Dhammapada. I haven't done that in about a year, and I was keep thinking I want to do that again. So if we like, we can do that. That's a nice kind of a spiritual text that has a lot of wisdom. But go ahead. If you have anything you want to just chip in or a question or comment or anything you've noticed, I'm happy to let other people respond or whatever. Cause it's great. You know, we're always having so many great experiences on this travel, and I do like to share them. You know, I mean, it's like I just want to say this one more thing. Like we were at, Pam Popper, you know, Pam Popper, if you know Pam Popper, she's, a vegan, doctor, but she's not an MD, she's a naturopath, and she has a wellness center in Columbus, and she came to the vegan Thanksgiving, and then we did a hot yoga the next day with one of the yoga teachers, which was kind of interesting, and we got a chance to spend some time with her, because she's a really major health freedom advocate, medical freedom advocate, who we talked quite a bit about the tactics of this, and her main thing, her two main ideas that I think are good. One is she says we've really got to use the courts more because the political system is so corrupt and the educational system is so corrupt, but the courts are still somewhat uncorrupted. And so she's been having a lot of success apparently bringing legal action against the medical tyranny. But the other thing she emphasized, which I've been saying actually for a long time, even before I ever heard this from her, is the idea of building a parallel society. That's what we talk about. You know, we say, like, Buckminster Fuller, this is his idea. He's, you know, and we've been saying this for decades. Instead of fighting against a system that is violent and corrupt and abusive, just create an alternative that's based on health and freedom and awareness, and that makes that one obsolete, right? You know, instead of fighting, because if I fight a system that's violent and abusive, I end up getting violent and abusive myself. You know, it kind of sucks us into a lower vibration, you know, to a lower dimension to fight against a tyrannical system. It's much more effective to just create something that's positive. And that's what I love about veganism, because veganism isn't just yelling about and complaining and criticizing the meat, dairy, and egg industries. We have delicious food, and we can grow it ourselves, and we can eat it, and we can create veg fests, and we can create restaurants, and we can create cooking classes, and create all kinds of situations and communities based on this positive, loving thing. And to me, that's really important, to create sustainable parallel societies, aspects of, you know, institutions, start growing our own food, becoming more self-sufficient, decentralizing the power, decentralizing everything. So there's this whole idea of like thinking globally, acting locally, and each one of us in our own way doing the inner work and then doing what we can to be contributing at a local level to making a parallel society that is not supporting the ridiculous violence of the last 10,000 years that has kind of taken over everything. So those are some of the things that, you know, were coming up there. And then we went to down to Gwen Whitaker. I don't know if you know Gwen Whitaker, but she's has a restaurant in outside Washington, D.C. called Green Fair. It's totally organic, and it's certified organic and vegan. And she says she's the only certified organic vegan restaurant in the entire United States. And she's great. She puts on a veg fest every year and is on the board of many groups and is also a health freedom advocate. And we did a wonderful event at her restaurant. It was sold out. They were turning people away. And at that event, we met this family of Jains. You know the Jains in India, and they're here in the United States. There's a mother, a father, and their two children. And they invited us over for dinner, and we spent like half the day at their house. We only had time, well, not half the day, but we spent a few hours afterwards, and really got to know them. And there's something so beautiful, I think, about the Indian tradition, especially the Jain tradition, which is considered to be the oldest and most ancient religion on planet Earth by a lot of scholars of religion. And to me, it's very interesting that the oldest religion seems to have roots that go way, way back into antiquity, way, you know, 10, 20, 30,000 years ago, that the main teaching is ahimsa, is nonviolence. That's their core thing, is nonviolence. And they're all about compassion for animals too. And the only disconnect is that they have this whole idea of it's okay to eat dairy. A lot of the Jains do. I mean, more and more they're going vegan. So we had some great discussions about that. And the research I've done, I'll just mention it quickly because I think it's important, is that if this is true, which I think it is, that the Indian subcontinent and the ancient people were living what we would call vegan lives. They didn't eat meat or dairy or eggs, and their main religion was ahimsa or nonviolence. And they were living in a much more harmonious way than we are today. But then it's pretty well known that the Indian subcontinent was overrun by two major influxes of populations from outside of India. One was the Aryan invasions from the north, from the Caucasus region, and they brought these sky gods, you know, Brahma and Indra and Vishnu and Krishna and all that, and they brought their cattle. They were cattle herders, of course, and so they brought their dairy and meat eating. But the local people were never doing that. That was something that was overlaid later, maybe like 10,000 years ago. And they brought the Vedas with animal sacrifices and cow sacrifices and all of that. And then also the other main invasion was from Africa, from Egypt. And they also brought cows. It was a herding culture that invaded from the other side and brought cattle and milk drinking and the whole thing. So it sort of became, you know, India became this country that was kind of known for it was known for vegetarianism, for not eating meat, because I think of the influence really of Jainism and Buddhism especially. But they kept their dairy. You know, that was a hard one for them to give up. But I don't think it's native. I think it was added later, because a lot of Indian people think, oh, we always drank milk. And I think, no, it was something that came in later, like it did almost everywhere. It came in later. I mean, everywhere it did. But so I think it's good to really kind of look into some of these things to understand what happened perhaps in the past. But in any event, we don't have to keep doing it now. Obviously, India has the highest rate of diabetes in the world because they eat so much dairy. It's devastating. And when we were living in India, I mean, to see the terrible situation that the cows have to endure, just starving out in the streets. It's pretty amazing. So we've had these, besides the lectures and all of that and playing the piano and Madeline's art and talking about the great good news that all of us have been given this wonderful gift of a body that does not require animals to be killed. We can talk about all these other good news, but then we also get to see more deeply into these people's lives and to really plant seeds of working together to help create a better future. So there's a lot of things are happening. COVID, I think, really dealt a big blow to the vegan movement, but we are in the recovery mode at this point, it seems to me. So Tams, you have your hand raised. Would you like to make a comment? Go ahead and feel free to turn off your, to unmute your microphone. And Carlos too, of course. I'm sorry I didn't. But
thank you, Will. First of all, it's always such a joy and pleasure to be here. I don't have an immediate comment about what you're saying. I want to ask a question, if I may. I'm on a deep discernment path right now. You know, I'm the executive director of All Creatures, and I've just made a huge move across the country, and I'm seeing this move fail. So I think some of you may be able to identify with this, others maybe not, but I've always been sensitive to chemicals. Like, my body just notices them, right? Because it's not polluted with all this other stuff. And where I moved, unfortunately, there's a lot of drug smoking here, and it just is like doubling me over with nausea. I'm not going to be able to be around this, so I'm breaking my lease and paying a huge penalty. And I've been keeping this in a deep spiritual discernment, like, okay, so this door is shutting. How shall I proceed? And it's prompted me to ask you, can you talk about when you were first starting on your journey before anyone really knew what the World Peace Diet is and et cetera, when you two were out there in your camper or your van, how did you start the momentum of being able to speak? Because I'm asking that because I'm toying with the idea of maybe buying a van or camper and like taking myself on the road. And I'm really curious about how your journey began, if you don't mind sharing.
Right. Well, yeah, you know, it's, I've done it, you know, I and we have done it several times over the years, not just once. And, I think, it's great. It's kind of like, you know, jumping into the unknown, you know, it's a leap of faith kind of a thing. And, we found, you know, I think both I myself, when I did it, and Madeline and I, when we've done it together, have found that the universe supports it. You don't know how it's going to happen, if it's going to work or whatever, but it's been great. And I think one of the things we like about living in a, like we lived for 17 years in a sort of larger kind of a thing, a fifth wheel, it was our fifth wheel trailer, kind of, you know, that pulled by a pickup truck. But it was only 200 square feet, and it was our house. And we lived in that, and you do have more control over toxic substances. You know, it's, if, you know, it's kind of like, oh, you know, if it's, we have noisy neighbors, we just drive away, you know. Or if you're in a, you know, a toxic neighborhood, you just drive away, you know, get away from it. And when you have a house or whatever, you can't really do that. You got to deal with the neighbor, you got to deal with the pollution or whatever it is. So you have to be really careful when you choose a place to live. And that's why for 17 years we lived in this RV, and we were always looking for where we, if we stopped living in it, where would we actually settle? And, you know, we kept, it's hard to find it's hard to find clean places nowadays. The chemical companies, you know, basically their worst enemy is people who are healthy. That's the biggest nightmare for the medical, pharmaceutical, chemical complex. They're trying to poison everybody. And so, they're unleashing more poisons than ever. And, so we're getting it from the industries, and it sounds like you're getting it from other people, if I understand you correctly. So I think the main thing is to, you know, have a sense of, what you can do that would maybe contribute to other people in a way that you would get reimbursed somehow, if you need money. I mean, it sounds like money is the issue. Usually it is for everybody. I just realized I have to plug in my computer. I'm going to die. Can you do this now? Just plug this in right there. Just plug it in right over there. Thanks. So, so I think, here we go. I think the, you know, three times, like, okay, the first time was with my brother. We just went off into the world with nothing, no money, wanted to meditate and let the universe somehow supply us. And we always said when we stopped, and people asked us to tell us what we were doing, we'd say we're meditating and we're trying to attain enlightenment. And we talk to Sunday school groups or whatever sometimes, and we just tell them that what Jesus says in the Bible is true. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven, and everything else shall be added unto you. You know, focus on the spiritual. That's the most important thing. And if you do that, the universe will get behind you. And we found it was true. I mean, it was like a radical leap we did. We were just young, and we were young and strong, and we thought, well, you know, whatever, we'll survive. And we did. We always found people were willing to give us a couple of zucchinis or a few apples or whatever if we would help them, you know, paint their church or do something. Now we just, every day was a new, we didn't know where the food was going to come from, but it always showed up somehow by some miracle. So that was the most radical. Then when I was teaching college, I decided to leave my whole, I had a secure teaching position. Everything was good in San Francisco, and I just decided to leave all that and move into a 1971 Volkswagen bus. And I didn't know how, if I'd make any money doing it, but it worked. And, you know, I was able to travel and give workshops and things. So I think a lot of it is just trusting. Number one, trusting the divine love that is always radiating toward us if we can open up to it, and serve, finding our way of serving or finding our way of contributing, and that if we do that, we'll get supported. And I've never tried to make money. It's always, we've done everything pretty much by donations. And I think, you know, if you find something that you can do on a donation basis, just to help people and not demand a certain price, people are usually very generous. And I mean, the more, if you're being loving and giving, they usually give back. People, that's how we are. I mean, all mammals are like that. You know, when you give something, then people think, yeah, I'll give you back. It's a basic way it is. It's the foundation of our basic sanity. So I think, Tams, you're such a, you know, giving, loving person. You just find some way of giving, maybe through counseling, you know, whatever it is. And the neat thing is nowadays, more than ever, you don't have to be somewhere. You can do so much through the internet. I mean, when we first went on the road in the RV, there wasn't any internet, you know, so we had to do everything by phone and mail and so forth. But now there's a lot of people who are making a living, more or less. I mean, income is coming in through clients that they have online or whatever, and that opens up doorways. But other people do things like, you know, live in an RV, and then they become a resident at a state park, like a host, a campground host, you know, become a campground host. And, you know, you get a free place to park, and they give you a little money, and you can just live. There's whole online, resources for that, for, you know, people who want to live in a trailer or RV or van or whatever. And, I used to know the names of it, you know, back in the, when I was in RVing, people would ask me, I'd say, go online and look at, you know, our jobs for RVers or jobs, you know, there's different things. There's a lot of people, there's like literally at least several million people who just live in their vehicles and have a good life, have a great life. That's what they're doing. So, but everybody, you know, you do it, everybody has to figure out a way, if you don't have any money, you know, how you actually buy food and this and that. And there's different ways of, you know, of doing that, volunteering, and then something comes back, or finding part-time jobs, or having a skill you can do online, all these kinds of things. There's lots of different possibilities. There's also communities that are looking for people. Sometimes they want you to have some money, sometimes they don't. So I think it really, what it really boils down to, essentially, is your intuition, you know, your inner guidance system, and taking time to just tune in and feel into, it doesn't have to make sense logically. It may not make sense logically. Like a lot of what I did, it didn't make sense logically, but it just felt like the right thing to do. And when Madeline and I went on the road in the RV, that was what it was too. It was like these clues from the universe, and then we just thought, let's just do it. You know, we just left everything and we went off. We thought we'd do it for 6 months, and we did it for 17 years, you know. It was so great. I mean, it was the greatest thing. It was, those 17 years living on the road in that RV were pure heaven. I mean, really, we had an absolute blast. It was so fun. We were just doing, just playing the piano, speaking, writing books, doing art, meeting people, staying in beautiful places, staying in state parks, and in the most beautiful, like we were the most wealthy people on planet Earth in terms of having an incredibly fun, meaningful, beautiful life. It was, but most people looked at us and they say, we could never do that. Oh, I could never do that. I got to have a place. I could never do that. Yeah, they probably couldn't. But, you know, it's your attitude. Everything is attitude. You know, it's like, if you just enjoy what you're doing and whatever you're doing and find meaning in it, that's really what matters. But, you know, living now, it's interesting because the whole culture in many ways is collapsing. So many people are losing jobs. People, you know, everything is up in the air. So it's a good time in a way to be flexible, to kind of, you know, be able to move somewhere and be aware. But I think, again, it comes back to intuition and your inner guidance system. And if you're one person, you don't have to be like anybody else. You can do your own thing and just see what happens. And every day, really, every day is an adventure. You know, you don't, who knows what can happen. But just, you know, every morning, just affirm that I can hardly wait to see what great thing is going to happen today. You know, because it's true. You don't have any idea the blessing that could just come flowing into your life. And when we're open, we have this sense of openness, like we're here to serve. We're just, the universe is right there. I mean, that we're opening up, and not just to physical benefits, but metaphysical. You know, there's beings, you can't see them, but they're looking for good people, good human beings to help with the awakening of humanity. And you can draw incredible, powerful guides and supporters that no one can see to support your work. And you may not even be aware of it, but there's so much more to this world than anyone can imagine. We're like little ants thinking we understand a huge city. You know, we don't know anything. And especially the more educated people are, the less they understand. So it's important to get back to your intuition and your inner guidance system and your spiritual your spiritual nature, and realize every day is precious. Every day is an adventure. No point in living it in a prison, right? I mean, get out of the prison. That's what we're all called to do, is to liberate ourselves. That's the only way we can liberate animals. We've got to liberate ourselves first. So thanks. It's great to see. Sometimes what looks like a terrible thing, you know, is actually opening up a beautiful new door. Very often it's like that, I think. So keep the options open. Okay, anyone else want to say something?
Yeah, Will, again, my good dear. Again, like everyone else knows, thank you for doing what you do. And I've seen that little van that he travels in. It's about the size of a small bathroom. I mean, he's not the one he did for 17 years, but the one he's in right now. I mean, and the way they have everything packed and stored perfectly, and the food and this, and every inch of that place is open, is full, and there's like a little tunnel in the middle where they live and work and travel. It's amazing. Yeah. Anyway, aside from that, I wanted to mention that during your the meditation part, a lot of stuff went through my head that was really great and interesting and stuff that I kind of leaned into in the past, but it just kind of came together really special here, where you were talking about the breath and how important that is. And I started thinking more, you know, because I've been having these kind of vegan issues with family members, which I'm not going to go too far here with who, but most of us have it with a lot of family members, I'm sure. But I was just, when we were talking about the breath, I just thought, for some reason at that point, it's like, do you know how many things have to happen for that breath to happen? Yeah. The combination of the miracle that we're even freaking breathing, and that we've got the right air, and that we're going at some pace, and that we've got this heart that every being shares, and it's like, it's like when you get a river flowing, when you do something to one of these beings, it's like putting a stick into a river. And it just kind of, you know how it breaks it up and screws up the whole natural part of the river? So we are damaging something, you know, when we just close off our heart. And then our hearts, like most of these people do, that just will not even listen to what you want to say. You know, they don't even want to know. It's like, right, they think they know everything. It's the most amazing, crazy thing. And they're the people you love the most, and you want to be with them the least. You know, that's the craziest thought, you know, and we all have to deal with that. And it's so awful. But it's something I'm going to use that, I'm learning to use better wording, like all of us, to get this idea across. But it just came to me, what an amazing thing it is that we have a heartbeat. To me, what keeps that thing going, and how all of these things have that going, and the miracle that is, and that when we're hurting it for anyone, we're hurting it for ourselves, for any being. We are not, we're all one, we're all connected. It's so easy. It's so like, trying to find the right words for these people. But that's what I wanted to mention on that. And also I got my Rancho Compasión, that's Miyoko's animal sanctuary.
Right, yeah.
I was there for their Thanksgiving event, and that was really
good. Great.
And also, have you, just to mention a couple of other things that are important to this movement, have you heard of that film or the short film that Jamie Logan is in? Yeah, everyone should see this film. It's called The Next Girl.
Yeah.
And we're not supposed to say anything about it, but the only thing I'll say is that it's about trafficking.
Right. Okay?
And it is really intense and has a connection to the movement. But, they want to make sure no one gives away the ending, because it is one of the greatest things I've ever seen for the movement ever.
Really?
Okay. So keep an eye out for that. And also, I was just at Wayne's sentencing.
Yeah.
Last week, and that was really a sad thing to go through and see that, and then see people who were fighting for this to take care of animals get arrested in front of us.
Yeah, yeah.
It was really awful. It was.
Yeah. Zoe Rosenberg.
I had to be there. I had to be there and support
them. Thanks
for
being there. Yeah.
And, we have to do everything we can.
Right.
Anyway,
yeah.
I'll shut up now. I'm sure the people have stuff to say. And again, thank you and Madeline for living in that little bathroom size car for half your year. That's just, that's just true to more information, more value to the testimony of the amazing people you guys are. So thank you.
Thanks, Carlos. And
I'm still going to try to see you in Florida sometime.
Yeah, I hope you can make it to Florida. Right. Let's stay in touch. Yeah.
Everything can happen.
Right.
All right. Thank you all for being here too. You're all just like, we're all just as important as Will, but Will knows how to make us better.
Thanks, okay. Carlos. Yeah. Great.
Aloha.
Aloha. Yeah, we met Carlos in Maui years ago. He had a fantastic magazine for years. And so great. Now he's living in our neighborhood in Lake County, which is awesome too. And so we have a tradition of really kind of limiting this to an hour. And I like to honor that, because we do with the third Thursday, which is for the facilitators. It goes in 90 minutes, but this is basically a 60-minute. And so I think we should kind of begin to wrap it up here. But thank you, Carlos. Thanks, Tams. And thanks to all of you for contributing and for sharing your ideas and insights and your presence, basically. I know it's a lot. We're all busy with 10,000 things, and to take time out of your day and to find your way here, even with the technical problem we had this time, is great. So, Madeline, are you ready? Madeline is working hard on her cat lace making. I think she's now, last year she was making wrist warmers. She made so many. Now she's making little laces. We just sent one to Susan today in the mail. Yeah. Thanks for the order. And so let's say we have our affirmative prayer that we like to say. And thanks for your comments here. It looks like Margie's in a van, right? Yeah, Margie is with us. We see her the last 2 years in her van in Florida.
Yeah.
And here she is. Hi, Margie.
Hi, Margie.
Yeah. So let's unmute your microphones, and we can say our closing prayer that we say every time together. It's the one for the prayer circle for animals, circleofcompassion.org. Here we go. compassion
and
for all beings everywhere. Okay, again. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. One more time with feeling. Compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere.
Thank you.
Love you. Thanks again, everybody.
Thank you. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.